Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea the name means salvation, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land," meaning the nation of Israel, "has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So the prophet himself was required to take an unfaithful wife to say to Israel, "Let me tell you what pain this unfaithful wife gives me so that you can understand how God is hurt by your turning away from him, forsaking his ways, and following after idols." So let's go back to Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot.'" So it's a religious system that leads people in worship of someone other than God, "who sits on many waters." In verse 15 of Revelation 17, it tells us that the waters, just look at verse 15. "They said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues.'" So there is some religious system that exists in these last days that will be very active in the tribulation period that has authority over nations across the world. Verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." I mean, the kings of the earth have bowed themselves before this great harlot religious system and allowed this system to be in charge over their kingdoms and have sway over their kingdoms down through the ages. It says the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So through her influence over the kings of many nations around the world, she was able to lead many people away from the Lord into a worship that was based not on the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, but on man-made rules and regulations. So this is a worldwide idolatrous religious system that began all the way back at the Tower of Babel. Babylon in Hebrew is simply the word Babel, like the Tower of Babel. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Let's talk about the Tower of Babel for a moment. Notice Genesis chapter 11 is way back in Genesis. What has just happened? The flood. And the flood wiped out every single person on earth except for eight. Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. Eight people. And as soon as they begin to repopulate the earth, people begin to turn away. You ought to come look at some of these charts up here after service and see just how soon after the flood some of these things take place. But in Genesis chapter 11, let's begin in verse 1. Genesis 11, verse 1. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." That makes sense. They all came from one family, right? "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar." Shinar is another term for Babylon. "And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar.
And he said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. That's where we get the term the Tower of Babel, whose top is in the heavens. Whose top is in the heavens. It was a place to worship the sun, moon, and stars. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. As they begin to start a one-world religious system, not worshiping God, but the hosts of heaven, the sun, the moon, and the stars. It says, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Again, in the rest of the Bible, they take that same word, Babel, and make it Babylon. Same word. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. There's an important character at Babylon that's actually mentioned to us in Genesis chapter 10. Let's start in verse 6 of Genesis 10. So we know about the leader of the people that are leading them into idolatry and away from God and building that tower. In Genesis 10:6, it said, the sons of Ham, that's one of the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were Cush. Cush today, his descendants make up Ethiopia and Saudi Arabia. Mitzrayim, his descendants are Egypt. Put is Libya, and Canaan is the area that we've come to call Israel. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raamah, and Sabtecha. None of them named John. And the sons of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He's the key here for Babylon, Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. That is, he becomes the ruler of all the people. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Actually means against the Lord. That he hated the Lord and he led the people into idolatry. Therefore it said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, that is Babylon. And what happens is Nimrod establishes himself as the leader of all the people, the great mighty king. And he's killed in a hunting accident. The tradition of the day was to take his wife, kill her, and bury her with him. It's always nice to have company, I guess. But believe it or not, she didn't want to die. So she said, wait. My husband is the sun god. He is the sun. He's the sun god. And his rays impregnated me, and I'm pregnant with him. He is going to be reborn through me. And people said, say what? And she said, I'll prove it to you that I am the queen of heaven, and that I have the power of life and death. Cut down this evergreen tree, and in the spring I will make it sprout and come back to life. Not having science classes back in those days, people didn't realize that if you cut down an evergreen tree, in spring it's going to sprout. So when it did, then they worshipped her as the moon and her son Tammuz as being Nimrod reborn, the sun. Or the sun god. And that's where worship of the mother and child, back in those days called the Madonna. The Madonna is not a term that started in Catholicism. It starts back in Babylon. The worship of the mother and child being the moon god and the sun god. And that worship system has come down and permeated down through the ages. Let's go back to Revelation 17. And remember that The things we're talking about in Revelation 17 happen after the rapture and the resurrection, when all believers were taken out of the world. Right? Okay, so keep that in mind. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the Spirit, that is, in the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. Wilderness is the same thing as desert. And it was considered in biblical days as being the place where demons were. And I saw a woman, that's this harlot, sitting on a scarlet beast. That scarlet beast is the kingdom of the false Messiah. So this false religious system sits on the kingdom of the Antichrist or the false Messiah. It's a scarlet beast which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Where have we read about that seven-headed, ten-horned beast before? Daniel chapter 7. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. God told us about this kingdom that's coming long ago. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, starting with, let's go to verse 1. The first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. That's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's son was Evil-Merodach. His son was Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the one in Daniel 5 who had the hand right on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Oh my goodness, Daniel, why didn't you write it all down? But he just gave us the main facts. Verse 2, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The great sea is the Mediterranean. The sea refers to the Gentile nations because they were centered around the Mediterranean Sea. And four great beasts, these beasts represent world empires that are going to rule the entire world, including Israel, came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion. This represents Babylon. Babylon, just like the image in Daniel 2, the head of gold was Babylon. That's the nation that took the southern kingdom of Judah captive from 606 to 583 or so BCE. And had eagle's wings, that is, it moved quickly and conquered quickly. I watched till its wings were plucked off. That's when Nebuchadnezzar got humble and had to eat straw for 7 years like an ox. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. So at the end of his 7 years of eating grass, he decided to repent, and God restored him to his mind and put him back in his throne. And a man's heart was given to it. Then, like I said, his son, Evil-Merodach, only reigned a few months. Then Belshazzar, who had the writing on the wall, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Verse 5, and suddenly another beast, a second like a bear. This is Medo-Persia. This is the nation that overthrew Babylon the night that Belshazzar had the vision where God said, your kingdom's over. That very night it fell. It was raised up on one side, that is Medo-Persia. The Medes and the Persians were not of equal strength. One was stronger. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. They represent Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, the 3 great empires that preceded it. That is, they consumed those other kingdoms and made their entire lands their own. They said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard. This is Macedonia or Greece under the command of Alexander the Great, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Remember when Alexander died, he had no children. So his kingdom was divided amongst his 4 generals. That's the 4 heads of the beast, the 4 generals that took over. One was the king of the north, one the king of the south, one the king of the east, one the king of the west. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. This is Rome, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it and had 10 horns. So verse 7 means the Roman Empire was not going to be conquered. It was going to crumble from within and be loosely ruled by the Holy Roman Church, which had influence over all the different kings who used to be part of the Holy Roman Empire. Verse 8, I was considering the horns. So at the time of the end, after the rapture and the resurrection, the old Roman Empire is going to be broken up, divided into 10 pieces. I was considering the horns, that is those 10 horns, the 10 kingdoms that evolve out of the Roman Empire. And there was another horn, a little one. That's the false Messiah or the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, whatever term you like to give him. He's called in 1 Thessalonians the man of perdition, the man of sin, the lawless one. He's got many titles. Coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. That's why it's got 7 heads and 10 horns. It's the 10 kingdoms, but 3 have been overthrown, and the false Messiah takes their power. So there's 7 remaining, but they rule over the entire 10 kingdoms. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a mouth, and a man speaking pompous words, pompous, arrogant, as Thessalonians teaches us. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 17. Verse 3 lets us know that this false religious system sits on the kingdom of the false Messiah, and they work together for a while. Because this false religious system leads people to worship the beast. The leader of this false religious system is the one called the false prophet. And let's read about him in Revelation 13, lest we forget. Revelation 13, verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. So that represents Israel. Somehow this false prophet comes out of Israel. And he had 2 horns like a lamb. That is, he pretends to be a Christian leader, but he's not. And spoke like a dragon. The dragon is Satan. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, that's the false Messiah Antichrist, in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So instead of leading people to worship God, he leads them to take the mark and to worship the beast. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. We read that earlier. Yes, was that Richard?
No, this is Sam. I'm sorry.
Hey, Sam.
Question.
Okay.
When it's talking about those who, when they're talking about those who dwell on the earth, are they talking about the Christian kingdoms, or are they talking about just earth in general?
Just earth in general.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So back to Revelation chapter 17. As our time grows short, verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Purple and scarlet. Purple represents royalty. Scarlet represents blood. So they're colors of the Christian church. Like I said, the false prophet pretends to be a Christian leader, but he's not. And it makes sense. It's after the rapture and the resurrection, all true believers are gone. Right? So whoever's left behind in charge was never a believer in the first place. And is adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. So this false religious system is extremely wealthy. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Wealth, luxury, and extravagance. But leading people away from the true and living God. Verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. One thing that we know from history is that Roman harlots, the actual women prostitutes, actually wore their names on their forehead so that you know who you were messing with if you were inclined to such things. So it makes sense that she does have her name written on her forehead. That was just the custom of the time. The first word there, mystery. Mystery means a deeper truth, something that we should have known from the scriptures before, but somehow we didn't fully understand it. Babylon the Great means this false religious system goes all the way back to Babylon. It never got extinguished. It only changed forms and mutated as it went along. The mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth means that the religious system spread out into other nations and other forms and other kingdoms. Let's go back to Jeremiah 16 for a moment again. Jeremiah 16. Remember Jeremiah 16, verse 10. The people were asking Jeremiah, what did we do? Why does God want to punish us? We're God's people. We ask Him for everything we want. In verse 11, you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, they have walked after other gods and have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my Torah. God defines not keeping my Torah as having forsaken me. Forsaking God's laws and commandments for somebody else's, He defines as forsaken Him. Messiah said the same thing in Mark chapter 7, as well as Matthew 15. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Starting with Messiah and through each and every one of the apostles, they warned us about false teachers that were going to come into the church and teach false doctrines to try and lead people away from God into doing the very same thing that had been done of old. Why did Messiah have such a problem with the scribes and Pharisees? The scribes and Pharisees talked about God. They claimed to be worshiping God, but Messiah says, but they weren't. They may have claimed it, but they weren't. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Here is the situation. Let me set the stage. The scribes and the Pharisees are trying to decide, is Yeshua the promised Messiah or not? Daniel 9, 24 to 26 said, the first century was when Messiah was to come. So whenever there was a potential candidate, maybe this is the Messiah, the scribes and Pharisees would go and watch them to see, is this the Messiah or not? So they come and they see his disciples eat bread, not piggy, but bread made from flour and water. But they didn't wash their hands first in the traditional way, meaning the way the scribes and the Pharisees demanded it. They demanded that you have a two-handled cup, and you pour water on one hand, then you grab the clean handle, pour water on the other hand. It's a ceremonial hand washing that God did not require, but the man-made rules and regulations commanded it. So they asked Messiah in verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? God didn't command the hand washing, man did. And in verse 6, Messiah answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written. This people honors me with their lips. That is, they claim to be my people. They claim to worship me, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. And that's where Messiah had a problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't teach God's commandments. They taught man-made commandments. Same thing as they did all the way back in Babylon. They said, don't follow God. Do what we tell you instead. And that is the Babylonian mystery religion funneling down through Judaism. Don't worship God. Don't follow him. Do what we tell you instead. Show us your honor. Show us your authority. Give us. Okay. Back to Revelation chapter 17 as we're down to our last couple minutes. So the Tower of Babel and the worship of the pagan gods, which is worship of anything other than God, has funneled down through the world and just spread out and got its tentacles everywhere. In verse 6 it said, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yeshua. In other words, the false Messiah who's beheading all the believers he can get his hands on is under the influence of this false religious system. Like we said, she sits on the kingdom of the false Messiah. So when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. What do they mean, the beast that you saw that was and is not and yet is? They're using terms that sound like Messiah was crucified, buried, and resurrected, but Satan doesn't have the power of resurrection. He doesn't have the power of life and death. But there was, in Daniel chapter 8, a man who foreshadowed the false Messiah, who prophesied and was the image, if you will, of the false Messiah to come, and that was Antiochus Epiphanes. If we don't have time to turn there, but just think back to Daniel chapter 8 and close your eyes. Antiochus Epiphanes came from one of those four heads of the leopard. That is, from the king of the north, a descendant of his was Antiochus Epiphanes, who came into the promised land, sacrificed a sow pig on the altar of God, commanded the people to stop worshiping God, to not follow the Torah. If a woman circumcised her child, as the Torah required, they would kill the child and hang it around her neck until the flesh rotted off the bones. These were not nice people. He is the image of the false Messiah or Antichrist who is to come, who will set up an abomination of desolation in the temple of God in the tribulation period. He is doing the things that the Antiochus Epiphanes of Daniel chapter 8 did in days of old. So it refers back and says, remember him, the false Messiah or Antichrist is of his same nature, with the same relationship to Satan, trying to carry out Satan's work.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every